Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, it's about, we're a bit late today, 10:15 already, alhamdulillah. But first up this morning is Monday Morning Focus. Today, inshallah, we begin the week by looking at a few simple steps to build your self-esteem, and in particular after addiction. We're just going to look at how to change, how to change about how you feel about yourself. Now, many people, of course, have dealt with challenges that have affected their self-confidence and their self-esteem. Fortunately, there are strategies that can help rebuild a damaged sense of self. And we, inshallah, this morning going to be looking at a few important steps to help build your self-esteem after addiction, inshallah. And that will be followed by our monthly drug education program with Sister Nazia Saliji. And with us in the studio today is Sister Shahida Kazi, who is the director at Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Lanesha. Of course, Sister Nazia normally does the program, but she is with us in the studio, alhamdulillah. And she's the outreach program coordinator also at Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Lanesha. We're going to be talking a little about the center first, that is when we come on a little later. And we also want to talk about caffeine and caffeinated drinks. Like our simple coffee, tea, coke and energy drinks, inshallah. So that's what we will be talking to you about a little later in the program. But for now, let's look at some of those simple steps that can actually help you change yourself about how you feel about yourself. Okay, now the relationship between low esteem and addiction has been established for decades. In the 1970s, drug users, women, particularly women, were found to have low self-esteem. And even more recently, the connection has been demonstrated between low self-esteem and behavioral addictions, including internet addiction, eating problems, and compulsive buying. Initially, when alcohol and things like alcohol and drugs or compulsive behavior can mask insecurities and even make people feel more confident, I think that's one of the reasons why people actually start, because they feel they are, they're feeling much better now. But these feelings, unfortunately, are short-lived, however, and the addiction can sink their self-esteem even lower. Now, whether you're contemplating doing something about your addiction or you're already on the road to recovery, I'd like to share with you some of these simple steps to build your self-esteem. There's just five of them that I would like to share with you today, inshallah. And they say the first thing is to write down your own affirmation. Now, an affirmation is a simple positive statement you say to yourself. While affirmation may not seem genuine at first, over time, reciting them does change the way you feel about yourself. And also write an affirmation that reflects how you want to feel about yourself. Sometimes saying these things to yourself actually makes you feel better. You stand up there and you say, no, I am not a bad person. You sometimes feel that you are a bad person, but you say it to yourself and you start believing in it. The more you say it, the more you will believe it. And even if you write it down, sometimes it makes a difference. Say to yourself, I am proud of myself. Give yourself a month saying it out loud to yourself every day. Inshallah, you will see the difference. Then you also need to forgive yourself for past mistakes. Some people find it so difficult to forgive themselves, but I know sometimes you are reminded about it all the time, but let me tell you what to do. People have struggled with an addiction, are often plagued by self-blame, which worsens your self-esteem. Addiction can really affect your judgment and impulse control, so you say and do things you later regret. You know, beating yourself up about what you did in the past will only increase the likelihood of relapse. So now is the time to recognize and to acknowledge what you did. Let go of punishing yourself and commit to doing things differently in the future. In other words, never let past wrongs define your present. And like I said earlier, sometimes you trying to forget about it. You trying so hard to work at it, but you find people reminding you about it. So what you need to do is to really let go of the past. You know, forget about the past. These are things that have happened. I've made a mistake and I want to rectify it. And I think that is what you need to concentrate on. Not what people will keep on reminding you about, or what you will think about, you know, I've made a mistake, so you know, I can't get over it. You need to actually get over it. Try your best to do it. Also, learn to accept compliments. People with low esteem, or rather low self-esteem, often miss the opportunities to build their self-esteem simply by acknowledging the kind of words of others. Next time someone gives you a compliment, resist the urge to dismiss it, or think to yourself that the person didn't mean it instead. You know, that's what we sometimes feel. Sometimes people are genuine. They are genuine when they actually compliment you. But, you know, we are so low, well, we feel so low that we don't accept what other people tell us. But sometimes we need to actually think, you know, maybe I am better. Maybe I am looking better. Maybe I am doing much better. So try to accept the compliments that people sometimes give you. You know, and don't think that people don't always, there are some people, of course, they don't mean things, but, you know, give the person the benefit of the doubt. I would say, just take it and say thank you and make yourself feel good about it, inshallah. Instead, imagine it's true and you might just find that it is. You know, just imagine, okay, this person has said it, whether they said it, meaning it or not. Just think, the person has given me a compliment and let me accept it and let me feel good about it. Then do something kind every day. Now, one way of increasing the appreciation that others express towards you is to do kind things to them. You don't have to make a grand gesture. Sometimes as simple as just holding a door open for another person, or giving up a seat on a bus, or perhaps just giving someone directions if they are looking lost or something like that, or just a nice thank you. Even if the other person does not express their gratitude, you can bask in the good feeling of having helped another person. You may also consider volunteering to help others in recovery. So these little things, open a door for somebody, offer your seat for somebody, an elderly person standing next to you, or a lady standing next to you if it's a man, or a younger person, or you feel the person is not feeling too well. You know, don't worry about what others will think about you, but think of how it will make you feel. They have done something good for the day, and Allah loves that. You know, do something good for someone, and it will make you feel better. And, of course, start making those changes. Nothing helps you to build self-esteem like self-determination. Everyone has things they would like to change in their own lives or in the lives of those around them. But for people with addictions, change happens in stages. If a major change seems like too much, then break it down into smaller acts and choose to do one day or one thing, you know, one thing a day, or perhaps just one thing a week, whichever you feel you'll follow through on. And, you know, with every small change inwardly, celebrate your success in moving towards your goal. So do it little by little, one thing at a time, inshallah. Just these few simple steps that I've shared with you. You know, and it's not only for people that are addicted. It is also for everyone else out there. I think we need to build our self-esteem, inshallah. And if when we practice on these little important little few steps that I've mentioned today, inshallah, it will make a difference and it will make you a stronger person and much better, inshallah. Okay, so that's a few steps and a few advices that I shared with you this morning. I hope it will be of benefit to our listeners. When we return, we're going to be talking to both our sisters in the studio, that is Sister Nazia Saliki and Sister Shahida Qazi. Sister Shahida is the director of the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center, and of course Sister Nazia is our the outreach program and coordinator at the center as well. Stay tuned, we'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking, and it's time for our monthly drug education program. Today, inshallah, we're going to be talking or discussing caffeine and caffeinated drinks like coffee, coke, and energy drinks. But before we do that, we have Sister Shahida Qazi, who is the director at the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center, with us in the studio, as well as Sister Nazia Saliji, who is the outreach program coordinator at the center as well. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum to both ladies. Jazakallahu khair for joining us this morning.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the Radio Islam listeners, and Jazakallah for having us.
Wa alaikum salam to you, Sister Zinat, and a warm greetings to all your listeners out there.
Okay, it's wonderful to have you with us again, Sister Shahida. It's been a while that you were in with us in the studio.
Yes, it has been a bit, I think some time now.
Mm-hmm. It's been quite a while.
But I'm glad to be back here again.
Oh, lovely. You know, before we start talking about caffeine and caffeinated drinks and things like that, just for the benefit of our listeners, we want to talk a little about the Senka Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Indonesia. And of course, who better than to have the director here to tell us more about it. So please, Sister Shahida, tell us more about the Nishtara, you know, center here in Indonesia.
Okay, shukran, Sister Zina. I think yes, we need to let a lot of people do know about us, but I think there's lots and lots of people that also don't know about the center. The center is based in Extension 9 on Capella Street, which is behind the Trade Mall Center. We've operating there on these premises since 2007, and we run both an inpatient and an outpatient program. We also very fortunate to have a female section, which is in the center itself, but accommodation is fully separate for the ladies as well. We run a fully, our center is fully halal catered for, and we provide 24-hour support services throughout, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Our center, as I said, we run, our main programs are the outpatient and the inpatient program, but we also have what we call an adolescent program, and that is focusing more on the youth and children, adults, youth under 18, and we have children as well, because unfortunately, as you know, the problem of addiction is, the age for the problem of addiction is decreasing as we talk. We have children as young as 7 years old already starting to experiment with drugs, with cigarettes, and with alcohol as well. So that is a sad reality for us, and so we have designed a program especially for that as well, where we try to do education and prevention work. We have a team, and I think you know Nazia is coordinating the outreach team. We, on a daily basis, we have volunteers that go out into the schools and try to run educational programs and prevention programs for all the learners out there. We also run lots of community campaigns where we try to do prevention work as well. And mostly our focus is centered on health centers, where we go to the local clinics, on organizations, and any other learning institution where we can render a service, just trying to do some sort of prevention work. What we do find from the prevention work that comes out is that there are areas or people who have a lot more problems and that are not being addressed, and those are the people that we refer to our center to get more intensive assistance. The adolescent program, like I said, focuses on the young children. Mm-hmm. So we run a weekly group that we call the teen development group that focuses mostly on life skills. It's a preventative program, but also our focus is more on life skills, where we target issues of bullying, peer pressure, and how to say no, how to fit in without doing what the others are doing. It's a lot of self-development for the youngsters. And I think that program is running off quite well. It's a free group, and it's open to any youngster out there. It doesn't mean that you have to be squabbling or dabbling in drugs or something. But just to build your I heard you talking earlier on about low self-esteem and that type of thing, but that is what we do. And we run that service totally free. It's every afternoon, every Friday afternoon from 2 to 3:30 p.m. We'd like to encourage parents to send their youngsters out there because it will be very beneficial to them as well.
So basically, you're not only dealing with drug addicts and people that are on alcohol or something, but it's for the community. It's out there for the community.
Yes.
You know, just to help them and to help prevent this scourge of drugs and something like
that. Yes, that's right. And also for the community, what we have is for the moms out there, the mothers, the women out there, we have a lot of education programs for them as well on simple things like... I think a popular one with us is now the bedroom. How well do you know your child's bedroom? Because parents are the last ones. It's almost like in the case of adultery where the wife finds out last. In this case, unfortunately, it's always the parents that find out last that the children are dealing in drugs. And it's our lifestyle today where we just take it for granted that whatever your children ask, you buy it and give it to them. But sometimes you need to take a step back and be a bit more critical and say, but what did he want that for? What did she want that for? So maybe the mock bedroom scene that we call is a program that focuses on educating moms about their children's bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And you'll be amazed at the lack of knowledge that comes up, but also at how much education you can glean from that program itself.
Yes, we've had that done already, and it's amazing, like you say, how little we know as parents, and yet, you know, we're supposed to be so aware of what is happening
what
around
our children are doing. Yeah, exactly.
And you know, unfortunately, sometimes our children really you know, they know that we don't know these things, and they really work on that. And alhamdulillah, it's wonderful, this idea of educating the parents, because I mean, we are there to try and prevent this happening to our children, and without knowledge, how are we going to help them?
Yes, exactly. And also what is very good, another program that we run that is extremely beneficial also is the family support group. That's a free group as well that we run. It's an open group every Saturday from 12 to 2:30. It started off with people who are in addiction or who are in the recovery or rehabilitation process that we aimed at their families. Our program, as you know, is holistic, so we treat the whole family. We don't treat only the addicted one. But this program started, the support group started from there, but now we've opened it and it's expanded it to include anybody that has a problem, anybody that wants to know more about a drug problem. Because as you know, Sister Zinat, one person that's addicted, just very, very conservatively, quickly, you can find 15 people that are affected by one person's addiction. And in some way or the other, there's always somebody out there that's either knows somebody or has somebody in the family, and how do you deal with this? Because we have in this community also, unfortunately, lots of parents who are actually being beaten up, who are so helpless, and they've reached that stage, they're frustrated, they just don't know what to do. So they will even go to the extent of stealing and borrowing, all just to give it to their child to keep them quiet or to get their fix so that they don't hammer on them. And this program is where we're trying to treat and we educate and we're teaching people how to still love your child, but how to practice tough love. And if you really want to help your child, what is the route to do? So it's a support group as well, but also we're focusing on empowering people on how to deal with the problem of addiction. It might not be very intensive in the family at the moment or whatever, but even if there's any inkling or any doubt that you have, that you think a child or your cousin or your nephew or niece or somebody might be there, but how do you deal with it? How do you approach your parents? What do you do? this group is excellent, and I think this group, the content of this group will really empower you in dealing with that. So we'd like to encourage people to come out there. Just call us and let us know that you will be attending a group. There's no fee involved. You just have to let us know before that you're coming so that we can prepare accommodation for the, you know, for logistical reasons, but and to include you on the register. And it's open, and there's no shame in there. But one of the things that this group aims at is breaking the stigma of addiction.
I think it's so important, you know. Basically, we all, there's no exception, I think. Every one of us should actually be going there and attending a group or support group like this, because it's so important. I don't think there's a family that is not involved in some way or, you know, affected in some way or the other. So it's so important for us to try and, you know, make use of the facilities that are actually available for us.
Exactly. The resources are there in the community. We just need to know that we have to sometimes take that first step and make it happen. It's not going to get done for us, but sometimes there are things that we have to do for ourselves. Also, what I'd like to share, as I mentioned, we have the inpatient, the outpatient treatment, but also I think one of the sore points in many communities is that the cost of addiction treatment that is so high. Rehabilitation is a very expensive process, and a lot of people are keeping quiet or just looking at it because they don't have the means to fund it, or they don't have money for it, and they will rather, it's easier, they find it easier to go steal 100 rand or borrow 100 rand and give it to the child to get it fixed than maybe look at many thousands of rands to try and get the child rehabilitated. The good news that we have is that we are an NGO and we have subsidy beds available, where addiction is not something that's a pie in the sky, something that's out of reach of anybody. It's become, we've made it affordable and accessible to anybody. So even if you don't have a cent to your name and you write down and out and you don't know how you're going to fund it, we are asking you to please come to us and we will assist you, we promise. We take 10 patients in every month at no cost, and we have 10 beds available every month. There are certain terms and conditions that apply, of course, but the criteria is very simple, and we welcome this community to start taking benefit, to benefiting from the subsidy programs that we have available.
And, of course, you have a whole holistic group of people, I believe, or I understand, working
yes,
with you.
Yes, our services are all rendered by qualified and professional people. We are registered with the Department of Social Development, and we are affiliated to SANCA, which is the national body on rehabilitation treatment in this country. Everything is above board. All our staff that we have employed there are qualified, professional, and we don't cut corners in any of those areas. We make sure that we give you a full up quality, a very good quality, and a high standard treatment. So whether you're paying 40,000 or 20,000 or whether you're paying 1,500, you will all get the same treatment. We provide 3 full meals a day. You get full accommodation in terms of your laundry and everything that gets done. You get 3 full meals. You get 3 snack breaks a day. And 24-hour monitoring and medical support is available at our facility.
Okay. And just the final question is with regards, you know, us, the public, what can we do to help?
What we would like from the public, as you know, finances, being an NGO, financial support is our biggest problem. And yes, we're not saying that you have to fork out the cash to give it to us, but just donations of whether you give us a bag of rice or you give us a lamb a month or something, a bag of sugar or something, any kind of contribution in kind that you'd like to make also. At the moment that we are looking at, we need to really paint out the center, and if we have a kind sponsor out there that is willing to assist us in having the center painted, we would appreciate. We have a beautiful garden out there that needs to be maintained, so if you have somebody that's got green fingers in the community and a few hours available every day to assist, they can even then help to get our patients involved in gardening, that's, which is also a sort of a therapeutic recreation for the patient. So we're willing to accept any kind of donations in kind or in cash, and we would really also, if you volunteers, what we'd like to recruit is a lot of volunteers from the community out there, because there are a lot of campaigns that we undertake, and we also focus on matriculants mostly who are doing voluntary work and want to upgrade their CVs, so we will issue certificates to any of the volunteers. voluntary programs. At the moment, I think Nazia and the team are busy with a holiday program, school holiday program. So even if there are any volunteers that want to come on board for that, we will welcome them.
For all that information, and of course we will be sharing the contact details with our listeners a little later. Sure. And I'm sure if we don't have the time to do it, we do have the contact details here at the radio station. They can always contact us.
I just want to say Jazakallah for that, and Sister Zinat, I'm challenging you now on air that you're going to be the first person that's going to visit our center, and hopefully you will lead by example, and a lot of your listeners out there will follow as well.
Inshallah, we will try our best. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we will continue with our program, and we'll be talking about caffeine and caffeinated drinks. We don't really worry about what we put down or consume. And let's see what it's all about in a little while. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Drug Talk. And with me is Sister Nazia Saliji now. And she's the Outreach Program Coordinator at Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center. Alhamdulillah, it's wonderful to have you with us again. I know I'm not giving you much time today, but Alhamdulillah. Let's talk a little about this caffeine and caffeinated drinks. We hear about it all the time, but what is caffeine and what is caffeinated drinks all about?
Sister Zinat, firstly, when it comes to the decision to speak about caffeine and it being covered under the topic drugs, most people don't really see it as a drug. When we talk about drugs, people think about, cocaine, heroin, but we've got three categories of drugs, which are stimulants, depressants, and then hallucinogens. And caffeine actually falls under the category of stimulants. It's a stimulant drug. That's what it's listed at. So the decision to cover caffeine is because we find that people sort of ignore the fact that they drink 6 cups of coffee a day and it's not a problem, and they drink it black. And then they would drink one of the energy drinks with that, or they would take their medication with the caffeinated drinks, or they would have tea and coffee and an energy drink. Did you know, for example, that caffeine is also found in chocolate? So, so basically, what is caffeine? It is a natural stimulant, and it is one of the most commonly used ingredients in the world. It has been known to have negative effects, but we know it more for its positive effects. Did you have tea this morning, Sister Zinat?
Have to have that cup of tea in the morning when you get up.
Mrs. Kadi, did you have tea this morning?
Coffee.
Okay, so it's a natural stimulant that is found commonly in tea, coffee, and cocoa plants. And it works by stimulating the brain and the central nervous system, helping you to stay alert and preventing the onset of tiredness. So being a Monday morning, how did you feel after you drank your cup of tea or coffee?
No, we just need that cup. Somehow it just starts your day for you.
Okay. Do you know where caffeine actually originates from? Okay. Historians tracked the first brewed tea to as far back as 2737 BC. It was discovered by an Ethiopian shepherd who noticed the extra energy it gave his goats. So that is where caffeine originates from. He would give it to his goats, and after he noticed that, he started selling. So I think maybe he was the first dealer in history.
Okay, but if you think of it, yes, tea is also a leaf.
Yes.
It's also grown.
Derived from a leaf.
Yes. And now, 80% of the world's population consumes a caffeinated product every day, and this number goes up to 90% in some countries. So if you're talking about drugs, don't look far. We can just open our grocery cupboards and we have now seen our first introduction, put it that way.
But why do we really have to consume these caffeinated drinks?
Okay, why do we need to consume? I think that people more want to consume, and then it evolves into a need. From the want, it grows. Remember, it takes 30 days or 28 days to form a habit. Okay, so maybe you would taste it, you would like the way it makes you feel, it would make you feel alert, it would make you feel, more stimulated, you are able to perform better, which is true. And then people use it for weight loss. People use it for different types of reasons where they would also try and justify. There are different content, so there's different amounts of caffeine in the different types of drinks. So it also will depend on the different types of drinks you would have. So if you were a coffee person, per cup you've got 102 to 200 milligrams of caffeine. And you also know that different coffees have different strengths of caffeine in them. So a person will also build up tolerance over time. So as you are drinking maybe one cup of coffee and it used to get you going, you'll now drink two, maybe at coffee at tea time and then at lunch time again. So people would use coffee, they would use different reasons to say, okay, some people actually drink a cup of coffee an hour before gym because it increases their ability to exercise longer, to endure. It will also impact their endurance levels. So it also depends on what reason do they want to have 3 cups of coffee a day. And then we move on to energy drinks. People would be drinking energy drinks for the same reason. And now you find that these energy supplements that people use for gym also contain caffeine. So it all just depends on the person's need, really.
Okay, with regards to the risk of caffeine and caffeinated beverages, can you share some light on that? What risk are we at?
Okay, firstly, the first thing that struck me was that caffeine consumption raises your blood pressure. Okay, so it will lead to somebody for 2 to 3 hours after a person has consumed 250 milligrams of caffeine, which is 2 cups of coffee, the blood pressure was elevated for about 2 to 3 hours after the caffeine. So this person drank their cup of coffee, and for 2 to 3 hours after that, their blood pressure remained elevated. Now, you do know that the harms of a high blood pressure is you are more susceptible to having a heart attack, you are more susceptible to having a stroke. So that was one of the main dangers that caught my attention. The other thing is that increased risk of heart attacks amongst young adults. Why are we seeing an increased risk of heart attacks among young adults? You have maybe your university student who has to stay up throughout the night to study. So they would push coffee, they would push energy drinks, and they know also which kind of chocolates contain, like certain energy drinks companies also make chocolates nowadays, which contain these key ingredients that also it's a stimulant. So what would happen is the young people, we're seeing more and more young people being susceptible to heart attacks because it increases your blood pressure. Caffeine is also linked to gout. So people who drink a lot of tea and a lot of coffee and our cold drinks, you see an increase in gout attacks. Breast tissue cysts in women. So it's a kind of fibrocystic breast disease where the woman gets cysts in the tissue of the breast. And that is also very painful. We also have caffeine causing incontinence. Now, if somebody uses caffeine, it sends you to the bathroom a lot. And if you're going to the bathroom a lot, it weakens your bladder, it weakens the strength of your bladder. And what would happen is incontinence is the loss of control of your bowel movements. So you would see earlier in the person's life, they would lose the ability to control their bowel movements. And remember, caffeine, I'm still going to go back to that, caffeine is masked in things like chocolate, in things like cold drinks. So you'll have coffee, you'll have cold drink, and you'll have chocolate in the day. So if you really look at the content of caffeine in the person's bloodstream, it's way higher than what we thought. We would think that, I only had a cup of coffee, so I can't be one of these people who's, addicted to caffeine or so. But you're still having these effects. Another thing it would cause is insomnia. People who drink coffee find difficulty sleeping. It also
some
causes
of them drink it to not sleep at all.
Yes,
to like cause the insomnia upon themselves.
Like the university students, sisters in it, or people driving long distances as well. They push a lot of energy drinks and coffee as well. Also indigestion. It causes heartburn. and it causes indigestion. So people normally say, I don't need to have breakfast, I can just have a cup of coffee and I'm good for the morning. Now what happens is it causes indigestion and heartburn and an upset stomach. It causes headaches and migraines as well. And pregnant women should also refrain from drinking coffee. It causes low birth weight and can contribute to a miscarriage, can be one of the contributing factors to a miscarriage.
Okay, just one, what about children, how does caffeine actually affect kids?
Sister Zenith, I think, do you have grandchildren?
Yes, I certainly do.
Okay, so if you give them half a glass of cold drink, what happens to them after about 5-10 minutes?
Crazy. Uncontrollable.
Okay. Despite the high sugar content in the cold drink, it is mostly the caffeine that causes, it stimulates, it causes this this frenzy within them. So children should have it in small doses. In fact, children should not even be having a full cup of coffee or tea is still one of your, it does contain a lesser amount of caffeine and it's not as hard hitting as your cold drink and your coffees. So one glass of cold drink contains 33 teaspoons of sugar. One glass of cold drink, 33 teaspoons of sugar plus caffeine. So you're looking at a power pack there, a party pack, and you are going to sit with that child for a good 2 to 3 hours. And here's the thing, when the child, they say what goes up must come down. So after this this hyperactivity, the child crashes and is miserable and is grumpy, and you find that she will even ask for more cold drink because they even know the cold drink will make me feel better. So that's one of the reasons why we should refrain. It will then place them at risk of becoming type 2 diabetics. They're candidates for type 2 diabetics.
I think, they also advise people never to take medication with tea or coffee.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So now you can see the why you shouldn't actually be doing that.
Absolutely, Sister Zenith. If someone's going to take their antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication, something to keep them calm, and you're going to take it with coffee, which is a stimulant, you now change the chemical properties of your medication, and the two of them mixed will alter the entire reaction completely.
Okay, and just very quickly, and I think this is very important, what is the best way to cut back on caffeine?
The best way to cut back, obviously, is not to cut cold turkey, because then we go and binge. It's to cut down. It's to control what your intake is. And obviously, see, if you're going to be having chocolate, tea, coffee, and cold drink, choose out of there what it is that you're going to have and how much you're going to have. Have it responsibly. Obviously, we can't say cut out coffee, cut out tea, because everything has a pro and a con in our lives. But we are saying moderation. Have in moderation and monitor yourself. Everybody's body is not the same. So the impact it has on you and the impact it has on me is not the same. Also, please refrain from mixing medication with coffee. So the trick is not stop or stay away. It's drink in moderation, slow down, and be aware of what you're putting into your body, because what you put in, you will get out.
Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our program, but it was, something to really think about. So all those coffee lovers and tea lovers and, Coke lovers, I think this is something that we really need to, think about and make a difference. Change a little bit, try and do it slowly, but definitely try and cut out on all these things. Inshallah.
Amen.
Okay, so just a reminder to our listeners, if you would like to contact the Nishtara Rehab Center, we do have some contact numbers. Can I just share these numbers that I have with
you? Yes, you can.
It's 011-854-5988, then 011-852-2176, and 011-852-2657. So, we heard about it. There's a lot happening there at the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center. It's not only about rehab.
There's a lifestyle.
There's a lot that you can learn there. So please, take the time off. I think it's so important for us as parents especially to take off that time, and inshallah I'll try it. I've been
challenged,
so inshallah I will try and come in and see for myself what is happening. But I do appreciate it very much for both of you to come in here and share all that information with us. And once again, Jazakallah khair to Nazia and of course to Sister Shaida. Thank you.
Shukran from our side. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Until next time.